In the scriptures and in the tradition of the church, we can often find contrasts or comparisons to set up a contrast. Some of these have come up already earlier this week, the difference between the old and the new, for example, the difference between the outside and the inside. Here, the difference between living according to the Spirit, living according to the law, living according to the Spirit, living according to the flesh. But there is also a well-established tradition of the both and, you know, instead of saying this, not this or that, but both. There's something good to be taken from two different places. One good example of this is that passage where Jesus says the wise householder knows how to take from his storeroom both the old and the new. So in that case, he's saying both, old and new. The reason that comes to mind, part of the reason why that comes to mind, if I could just deviate a little bit from the scriptures, the old and the new. Today, October 12, is the feast day of Our Lady of the Pillar, which is an old feast, not well known in the States. Well-known in the Philippines and perhaps in any country that was evangelized by the Spanish, Our Lady of the Pillar. So old, in fact, that goes back to the apostolic times. The story is that St. James the Apostle, when he went to Spain to evangelize, was growing discouraged. The Spanish were hard-headed and they weren't accepting the gospel, and James was, you know, far from home and wondering what's going on. And Our Lady appeared to him standing on a pillar and strengthened him so that he would persevere in the work of evangelizing Spain. Nuestra Señora del Pilar. So Our Lady of the Pillar. Now, the historians dispute whether James ever went to Spain at all, because he was beheaded in, I think, 42 or 43. I mean, pretty early on. So he would have had to rush pretty far, get to Spain and get back to Jerusalem to get beheaded. So they say historians, they have their doubts. And even if he did go to Spain, did Our Lady appear to him on a pillar? Well, I don't know. But where did this tradition come from? It's very well established in Spain. Huge shrine in honor of Our Lady. And another one of the historical questions is whether that was an apparition of Our Lady, the first apparition, or whether that was an example of bilocation, because Mary hadn't even been assumed yet. So it might be the first case of bilocation, or it might be the first case of a Marian apparition. Anyway, I'm just saying some old traditions which have strengthened the Christian community for centuries. Old and the new. What's the new? Also on October 12 is the death anniversary and therefore the feast day of Blessed Carlo Acutis. You ever heard of him? Carlo Acutis died at age 15 in the year 2006, and he's already been beatified. That isn't about as new as you can get. I mean, he's just a kid. He's a computer kid. He's a normal, you know, teenager. He's got interest in computer games and stuff like this. But he has also an extraordinary love for the Eucharist, and he sets up a website to categorize Eucharistic miracles through the history of the church. October 12th. So here we've got Our Lady of the Pillar, old. You've got Blessed Carlo Acutis, new. You know, every teenager is into computers and computer games and stuff like this. So that's an example of what I was trying to say yesterday about the Vatican Council, was to come up with new ways to proclaim the gospel, the one gospel, to a new era. Well, that's Carlo Acutis. How do you proclaim the Eucharist to the new generation? Well, you put it on the website, you put it on the internet. That's how you evangelize. So. Okay, old and new. Carlo Acutis, he died not even a year before Father Francis. So that's how I kind of connect them. He died October 12, 2006. Father Francis died October 1st, 2007. Now, in between old and new, I also ran into an interesting thing, I thought, a detail from the story of Christopher Columbus, whose traditional feast day is October 12th. So this is when Columbus Day used to be, because this is the day when Columbus first encountered land in what he thought was Asia, but it turned out to be a whole new world. And I didn't know this until yesterday. I saw an article. Columbus, who did this really daring attempt to get to the east by going west. I mean, that was the thing that had never been done. He wanted to go to the east because he couldn't go east because of the conflict with the Ottomans or whoever they were, Muslims. So, but in order to get to the east, he said, "Well, just go around the other way. Go around the world." So he went west, and he knew you couldn't just go forever. So he told his men, there was the three ships, right? The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Yeah, so he told his men, if we don't find land by the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, we'll go back. And it was in the morning of October 12 that they sighted land. So now that's not as old as Our Lady of the Pillar, because there's already a well-established devotion in Columbus time, of course, the Spanish. And then so he's in the middle, and then now new Carlo Acutis. Okay. Now, when it comes to, again, that's a little bit of an aside, but I think it's interesting to see a God working in history, old and new. Now we turn to these scriptures, and Paul first makes the distinction between being guided by the Spirit and being under the law, which is what he's been talking about throughout the letter to the Galatians. But then he makes an even more stark distinction between living according to the flesh or under the Spirit or according to the flesh. And he gives these lists of what he's talking about to make it very clear. The works of the flesh are obvious. And he lists a whole bunch of sins, all of which are obviously wrong. You know, idolatry, envy, drinking bouts, orgies, etc. And he says that's obviously not the way to go. So don't, it's one thing to say living according to the law might be appealing, but now he's saying, no, if you put yourself in the center and your accomplishment of the law, what you're actually doing is putting yourself under the reign of the flesh, meaning you're putting yourself above God. You're making yourself the criteria, not God's plan. And this is where it will go. It will go to selfishness. It will go to envy. It will go to rivalry. It will go to jealousy, which is what we see among, well, pretty much all of us. but among religious people who pride themselves on their religiosity, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees would never admit that they were living according to the flesh because they were holy. They were following the law. But what Paul is saying here is, if you establish the law as your criterion, what you're actually doing is making yourself the criterion. And that's the flesh, even if it looks holy. In contrast, he goes into the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Beautiful, but also not as obvious, because just because someone looks patient to us or looks kind to us, it doesn't mean that they really are. I mean, they might be putting on a show because they might be hypocritical Pharisees. But then Paul throws out this line: against such there is no law. It's almost like he's making a joke. There's no law against being kind. There's no law against being gentle or self-controlled. But he's also re-emphasizing what he said earlier in the letter about freedom. See, if we're living according to the Spirit, you don't need any law, because we're already interiorizing the law. That's the whole point there. There's no law against patience. But a person who is patient doesn't need a law against impatience, because he's already has it inside. So that's the life of the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, follow the Spirit. Now, to make it clear that this is not simply a matter of a quick decision, or I'm going to be in the Spirit today, he makes this important additional point: those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. So to live according to the Spirit, to live with this interiorized law, we have to daily put to death the disordered directions and movements of our passions and desires, so that we won't fall back into this life according to the flesh. So those are the distinctions he's making here. Now, when we get to the gospel, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were not used to being told, woe to you, woe to you, because they were looked up to as religious leaders. They were the good people, the holy people. They were the ones who would say, woe to you, sinners. That's the Pharisees' whole thing. We're the holy ones, and you who are not like us, woe to you. You're outside the law. So Jesus is very deliberately turning their attitude back on themselves. Woe to you, because, well, the first thing is, they pay tithes on insignificant herbs, mint, rue, and garden herbs, but do not pay attention to judgment and to love for God. So you're taking care of little things, but neglecting the big things. And then he says, these you should have done without overlooking the others. This is, again, not one or the other, not either this or that, but both. Take care of the big things and the little things. Put your whole heart into following the Lord, serving the Lord. And if you don't, well, woe to you. You're more attached to public honor than to giving honor to God. I'll just skip down to the end of this, because the scholars of the law, the lawyers, pipe up and say, well, you're insulting us too. And Jesus says, you're right. I'm going to put this on you too, because you're putting burdens on everybody else and you're not doing anything to help them. Now, again, both and. Lawyers, scholars of the law, they have to point out the demands of the law. That's part of what it means to be a scholar of the law. This is what the law demands. The problem is not that they're imposing burdens. The problem is that they're not doing anything to help. It has to be both. Yes, make it clear this is what it means, but then this is how we do it, and I'll join you, I'll help you. But to put the burden on others and not do anything, well, it moves Jesus to say, woe to you too, you lawyers. I think Pope Francis is very strong about this idea of assisting those whom we think are outside the law, or those whom we might judge. Be more ready to assist than to judge. The term he loves to use is accompaniment. Pope Francis loves this term, accompaniment. It used to be, maybe the term would be pastoral care or concern, but in other words, you journey with people, you listen to them, and you walk with them, you carry the burden with them. The pro-lifers have picked up on this. Well, I guess you're probably all pro-lifers. You know, it used to be more common for the pro-lifers to say, stop abortion, stop abortion, stop abortion, which is of course true, but now it's, we will help any woman who has trouble with a pregnancy, or who thinks she might be pregnant and doesn't know what to do. We will help you. This is pregnancy resource centers. This is accompaniment. This is not putting the burden on you. Now, you don't get an abortion. It's, I'll help you. You see the point. This is what Jesus is saying to the scholars. Don't just put burdens on people. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Say, this is difficult. Let's work this out together. I'll help you. Okay. So that's a little bit of, again, the trying to flesh out the tradition of distinguishing what is no and what is yes, what is, you know, we reject and what we accept, you know, that we reject the works of the flesh, we live according to the Spirit. But then living according to the Spirit has this both and quality, that, yes, big things and little things. Yes, truth and love. Yes, making clear what the demands are of Christian life, and then also lifting up a finger, a hand, to help one another journey according to the Spirit. And this is the life of the church. So with the intercession of Our Lady of the Pillar, who comes to James not just to condemn him for being a failure, but to strengthen him in his evangelistic work, and through the intercession of Blessed Carlo Acutis, who says, don't be afraid of computers, you know, put them to the work in service of the kingdom, and through the intercession of St. Paul and all the saints, we continue our journey following the Lord, living according to the Spirit.